Our sermon picks up from where John left off in Luke chapter 7, verses 40 through 50. Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Thank you, God, for sending Jesus Christ to us, who shows us how much we are like him and how much like us he is. We're currently looking at the ways and times Jesus was just as human as the rest of us. We accept the fact that Jesus was fully human and fully divine, and we remember Hebrews 2:17, which says Jesus had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Jesus, we learned, could be a sassy pants, and Jesus, we'll discover today, could also be a nudge. So what, you're probably wondering, is a nudge? Nudge is a Yiddish word meaning a person who persistently pesters, annoys, or complains, and nags and natters. Here is Jesus at Simon the Pharisee's house. Probably there was lots of good food, lots of good wine. We know about Jesus and wine and the coming kingdom of God now. We're not exactly sure of Simon's motives for inviting Jesus to dinner that day. Was he trying to set Jesus up to capture him in a moment of blasphemy so he, Simon, could report him to the authorities? Or was he sincerely interested in hearing more of the radical things Jesus said? Was he trying to make himself look good by having a popular preacher over for dinner? Maybe he just liked hosting a good old-fashioned dinner with lively conversation and good give and take and deep insights. Whatever Simon's plan, he didn't expect a surprise guest who barged in during the meal. Well, actually, the woman didn't really just barge in. Back in those days, these kinds of dinners were open for people to come in from off the street and stand around and listen to the dialogue. All kinds of people wandered in and out to hear the exchange of ideas in hopes of witnessing a spirited discourse over the course of the meal. So Simon probably wasn't surprised to see a woman, a random woman, pop in, but he was surprised to see this particular woman standing in the doorway. Her reputation preceded her. Everyone in town knew about her. She was a sinner. And that's how Simon thought about her right off the bat. She's a sinner. How did Simon know so much about her? Had he heard the rumors going around the city about her? Did he believe the rumors? He was so quick to judge her. He didn't think someone like that belonged in a dignified place like his home. When she poured the ointment on Jesus' feet, Simon curled his lip in disgust at the scent of the fragrance instead of breathing it in. When she started crying over Jesus' feet and wiping them with her hair, he was almost livid. Some prophet this Jesus guy was. Didn't he know who this was, touching him like this? No true prophet would knowingly allow himself to be rendered unclean by contact with someone like this woman. See, the notion was if a sinner touched you, you took on their sin yourself. If they were unclean and they touched you, then you became unclean too. Didn't Jesus know that? If he had any sense, he'd jerk his feet away from her and order her to leave him alone and quit touching him. Simon was thinking, I know all about that woman, and she is not a good woman. Simon's opinion of Jesus lowered somewhat, but his own self-opinion rose quite a bit. He knew something Jesus didn't know. That woman was bad compared to him, to Simon. Simon was a model Pharisee. Simon did all the right things. Simon prayed all the right prayers. Simon would never let someone like that touch him. Simon was disappointed in Jesus, that he would allow such liberties from such a libertine. For a second, Simon even thought he was better than Jesus. Jesus knew what Simon was thinking. He called him out by positing a parable to Simon, a parable about two people in debt. It seemed simple, but it was really profound, just like all of Jesus's parables are. Two people owed money to a lender. One owed much more than the other. Both debts were forgiven, completely written off. So which of the two debtors would be more thankful to the generous lender? Simon was caught between a rock and a hard spot. It was a setup. How could he fail to answer properly? There was only one right answer. How could he miss Jesus's point? He had to say something. Everybody was watching. Only grudgingly did Simon respond to Jesus's simple but deep question. Of course, the person with the larger debt would be more grateful to see it erased. Simon knew exactly what Jesus was getting at. And that's when Jesus went full on into nudge mode. Jesus began to list all the ways Simon had failed to do his duty as a host and had showed little gratitude to him. You didn't give me water for my feet, a common courtesy for guests who wore sandals and whose feet got dusty from walking. You didn't kiss me, a traditional sign of welcome and respect. You didn't anoint my head with oil, an appreciated, accepted way to refresh and soothe someone's sun-soaked scalp, and also a way to say, you are an honored guest in my home. In all these acts of graciousness, Simon had failed. Did he forget to do these basic traditions, or did Simon just decide he didn't want to do those acts of service for Jesus? That unnamed woman took the initiative to welcome and bless him, to even do for Jesus that which often fell to a servant to do, to wash and clean his feet, the lowliest part of his body, with her tears and her hair, no less. She became the hostess when Simon refused to do his duty as host. No, Simon, you are not higher nor holier than she. She knew she had to change. She knew Jesus could help her change, but Simon wallowed in his certainty that he had nothing to repent of and he was better than that sinful woman. Simon was not about to change. Jesus was being a nudge to nudge Simon to do some serious introspection and to see that he really did have to change. Simon had failed on so many levels, just as this woman had failed. The big difference was she realized her deficit and her defeat, and she knew her need for forgiveness. Simon was stuck in a cycle of judging and begrudging and thinking he was all right and all right. We are Simon-esque sometimes. We are so often quick to judge others. We see someone and we concoct a whole story about them, who they are, where they're from, what they think, and we believe that story. And it's absolutely unfair, isn't it? Because we can't know everyone's story just from looking at them. My excuse is, well, as a writer, I'm always examining people and figuring out how they would fit into a story, but it's judgmental just the same, and I repent of that. Simon didn't know everything about the woman, only what he'd heard other people say about her. Simon didn't know that she had met Jesus previously, when or where, we don't know, and Jesus had changed her life. Simon's comeuppance should give us pause. When do we judge without knowing someone's story? When do we give ourselves airs and deem others less than ourselves? When do we fall short of our call to compassion and confession, to welcome and restoration? Do we realize the extent of the debt we owe to Jesus for accepting us, forgiving us, and loving us? The dinner was not much fun for Simon after Jesus admonished him. Jesus turned to the disparaged woman and deliberately spoke, "Your sins are forgiven," subtly implying that Simon had sins that yet needed to be forgiven, just as much as this woman. The different translations say the woman was a prostitute. Most agree she was not Mary Magdalene. Simon thought her sin was a worse type of sin than his own indifference, inhospitality, and aloofness. Simon listened to Jesus, but he was so wrapped up in his own righteousness that he didn't hear Jesus. Simon was probably thinking, note to self, don't ask this nude Jesus to dinner ever, 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 ever again. Actually, Jesus was a mensch, a person of integrity and honor. He was opening Simon's eyes to his judgmentalism and prejudice. And Jesus was giving him a chance to repent openly, completely, right then and there. Maybe Simon wouldn't have to go so far as this woman pouring out an expensive oil on Jesus, crying at his feet. It was simple, Simon. Admit your shortcomings and accept that there was one there, right there with you, who was willing to forgive you as extravagantly as he had forgiven this most sinful of sinners. Simon thought inwardly, does Jesus see this woman? Jesus asked him directly, do you see this woman? Can you see beyond what you think you know about her and see her? Do you see what she has done? She's taken your place as host here. You have abandoned your duty, but she has picked it up and performed it perfectly. Yet you still have the audacity to judge her and call her a sinner. Do you see her, really see her, Simon? What she's gone through, how hurt she was, how happy she is now. Or do you not want to see her? It's easier that way, isn't it? It enables you to keep thinking of yourself as more righteous, to keep thinking you don't need forgiveness. Simon didn't see her. Simon didn't see her worth, and Simon didn't see himself and her humility. Simon says she's unworthy. He acknowledged she had many sins. She acknowledged that too. But Simon didn't acknowledge he had any sins, and that has made all the difference. Her great love, her unbound hair equaling unbound love, her precious perfume representing her great gratitude, all earned her a gentle blessing from Jesus. Go in peace, and an equally gentle assurance, your sins are forgiven. I wonder if Jesus then turned to Simon and looked at him as if to say, now how about you, Simon? Will you stay in your state of judgmentalism and unease, thinking you have little to be forgiven? Or will you come to your senses and realize that you need Jesus' forgiveness, the erasing of your debt, just as much as she did? We all come to the table with our burdens that we just as soon forget. Jesus invites us to place them all at his feet, every single last one of them. If we could fully grasp the extent of exactly what Jesus has done for us with love and grace and mercy, we'd fall on our knees too, crying and blubbering, thank you, Lord, thank you. Jesus wanted Simon to examine his attitude and see that he needed forgiveness just as much as that woman whom he sneered at. Jesus would pour on his head and his heart so much ointment of acceptance and perfume of pardon that Simon would receive a matchless, extravagant gift, the gift of a second chance, the gift of new life, if he would just lighten up and not be so rigid in his thinking. The woman let her hair down and made herself vulnerable. Simon couldn't bring himself to do the same. He couldn't imagine himself being so wrong and so needy. Humility and righteousness are incompatible. So yeah, Jesus was a nudge, but he had a good reason to be a nudge. He didn't want to leave Simon in his dire straits. He wanted to lift him up and out of the quagmire of sin, just as he had lifted that woman up and out. He wanted Simon to know the same peace he had bestowed on her. But as long as Simon clung to his arrogant aura, there was no peace for him. It was there, right in his grasp. All he had to do was reach for it. Jesus forgave that woman, and he would forgive Simon too once he realized he was just as indebted to him as the woman. Then Simon could show his gratitude through his loving service to Jesus, just as the woman did. It takes a lot of chutzpah to accept that you're not as righteous as you think. That's another Yiddish word. It means nerve. Simon, I hope, learned his lesson from this woman. I certainly have. I've been like her, standing in a doorway, aware that other people are looking at me and judging me, questioning my presence. What's she doing here? Does she really belong here? It's happened numerous times in the past, and I don't doubt it will happen numerous times in the future. But I've seen this sister, and I'm going to follow her bold lead. She stepped right into the place of unwelcome, but she didn't look at the disapproving eyes. She kept her eyes on Jesus. She made a beeline for him, and she started taking care of him, serving him, expressing her gratitude to him, and rejoicing in her acceptance. That's exactly what I'm going to do from now on. I'm not going to look right or left, but right at Jesus, and keep my eyes and my focus on him and what I have come to do for him. Jesus, the nudge, now asks us, how are you serving me today? How are you welcoming me today? Are you reaching out to do the sometimes less than glamorous work of tending to all God's children, washing figurative feet, sacrificing for someone else? Are you anointing and appointing? Are you sharing and caring, perfuming and performing? Are you standing pat, standing still, looking at the longing ones standing in the doorway, wanting to come in, but afraid of what kind of reception they will receive? How are you serving as host in Jesus' name today? Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we learned so much from your human divinity. Be our nudge. Make us second guess our motives. Really think about who we invite, who we shun, who we see, who we don't see. Nudge us, our nudge, onto a better plane of humanity, a place where we serve you by caring for all the outcasts just as you cared for them, loving and accepting them in your name. Amen.
Day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray, to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day, day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray, to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day, day by day, day by day. I pray to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day, day by day, day by day. Day by day, by day, by day, by day.